The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, we are celebrating a milestone episode with quick tips submitted by you. That's coming up on this episode 100 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 100. I cannot believe that we are 100 episodes in and almost 2 years into the podcast. It was started because I love podcasts so much, but I often sometimes forget that I have a podcast because I'm just such a fan of podcasts, and I tend to just view it as just a passion thing. And I'm just a girl sitting in her bedroom usually with an iPad and a microphone and talking about her favorite subject. So I'm just thrilled that we are here and that so many of you have responded and that you love listening. And I'm just thrilled about it. So thank you for being here. Today's podcast is going to be perfect for people who often tell me that they want longer episodes. Today is much longer than normal because I have so many tips to share with you. And people often in the reviews on iTunes will say they love that there's a quick tip. So we are packing it in today. So before we do that, I always want to remind you to connect outside the podcast, because this is not just about me talking to you. I want you to talk to me. And if you are on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, you can find me at WDW Prep School on those platforms, and we can talk to each other and interact, have discussions. There's also two things I use only when I'm traveling, and that is Snapchat and now Periscope. And so if you use those, go ahead and follow me at WDW Prep School. I only use those when I'm traveling, because posting to those when I'm at home would be completely boring, because I'm usually sitting in yoga pants behind a laptop, and that's not exciting. However, I do have three trips coming up, about one per month over the next few months. And the next one will be August 13th. I'm going to Anaheim for D23 Expo. And I'll also be visiting Disneyland because it's right down the street. So if you follow along, then you'll see me periscoping and snapping from Anaheim. So anyway, look forward to connecting with you there. So I do have a lot of tips to go through today, so I don't want to waste too much time here at the beginning. I do have to say not all tips that were emailed or called in were included for various reasons. There were audio quality issues. There were some duplicate tips. They were either duplicate with other tips that were submitted, or they were duplicate with things I have already said a lot of times, and so I didn't feel the need to include it. But if you called one in and don't hear it today, don't be upset, because I just could not put them all in for various reasons. But I do want to go ahead and get started. I kind of group these by category as much as I could. Dining is the first category of tips that I'm going to go through today. And I'm so thrilled that people did submit so many tips related to dining, because it's by far the topic that I get the most questions about. And so I think that at least a couple of these should resonate with you. So without any further ado, let's dive in to the quick tips. First up, dining.
Hi, I'm Casey from Indiana, and this tip is about taking snacks into the parks. Before we left for our trip, I purchased snacks such as granola bars, fruit leather, raisin, cereal bars, apple juice or applesauce pouches, and the like. And then I put them in gallon zip bags I bought from the dollar store. I divvied them out all ahead of time, so we'd have a variety of snacks each day. So one bag equaled one day in the parks. Each night at our hotel, I'd move another gallon bag to my park bag to have all ready to go so we could fly out the door in the morning. It saved me a lot of time and money.
Hi there. My name is Lindsay, and I am from Crossville, Tennessee. I just took my first trip to Walt Disney World in May of this year. With my dear husband, we went, and our trip was wonderful. Thanks to Shannon and all of her resources, it went great. One quick tip that I have that we kind of stumbled upon is that we actually decided to split our quick service meals. So here's an example. We went in May, and it was fairly busy and fairly hot, not crazy busy or crazy hot from what I've read, but it was still pretty hot and pretty busy. So what we would do is we would get at the park around opening, you know, have a quick breakfast that morning, get the park at opening, do some stuff. Well, about 10 or 10:30, we're already getting kind of hungry. So we would go ahead and look for a quick service. For example, one day we were in Hollywood Studios, we had a quick service at Star and Girls Cafe. What we found is that the portions were huge. That sandwich was ginormous. The cupcake was ginormous. And we found that if we split it, it was enough to sustain us for a couple of hours. And this was great for a couple of reasons. Was one, since we split a meal, we weren't so lethargic after eating it. It just kind of gave us a burst of energy, and that was great. And then also it gave us another excuse later on to go find air conditioning, sit down and relax. So we had at Star and Girls Cafe, I would say between 10:30 and 11, went and did some more stuff. Just 3 hours later, we were hungry again because we had just had half a sandwich. So then we went to ABC Commissary, split something there. It kind of gave us a way to try out more restaurants this way. We didn't get that sleepy, tired, I'm really full, ready for a nap feeling. And it gave us an excuse to find more air conditioning and kind of catch a break throughout the day. So I don't know if that would really work with families. I don't know. It was just me and my husband. It worked great for us because we were able to try out new places, get in the air conditioning more, and it kind of just kept our energy going all day long instead of having a big meal and then going to take a nap. So hopefully that might work out for you.
Hi, Shannon. My name is Walker, and I'm from Alabama, and I love listening to your podcast. My tip is if you're on the Disney dining plan, a good way to make use of your snack credits is to go to Starbucks because just about any drink on the menu is worth one snack credit. But if you also like to add in syrups and espresso shots like I do, you can still do that while only using one snack credit. So if you like to add in a bunch of stuff to your drink, it could end up being $8 or $9, and Starbucks is pretty expensive. But if you do it this way, you're still using only one snack credit, and you're really maximizing the use of it. And so that's my quick tip. Thank you.
Hi, Shannon. This is Selena Myers calling in from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. My family and I are huge fans of your website and just want to thank you so much for all that you do to help us get our trips planned for Disney. We've used your site for the last 2 years and are currently planning our third trip to Disney in 2016. My quick tip of the day that I would like to share is I noticed last time when we traveled, when we were using our snack credits, we had purchased bags of snacks, trail mix, or some popcorn, and when we weren't finished with the snack, I really didn't know what to do with them. I didn't want to throw them away because we weren't finished, but I really had no way to store them. So what I've decided to do for this next trip is to pack a box of Ziploc baggies and some rubber bands. So for those snack bags that are trail mix, you know, perhaps I could just put a rubber band around them, or I could just dump them into a Ziploc bag and store them in the backpack, and then we can eat them for later. So hope that's a good tip, and hope others can use it too, and I look forward to the information in the 100th episode. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Hi, Shannon. My name is Colleen, and I'm calling from Moments, Illinois. One of my favorite ways to save money on my Walt Disney World vacations is to bring boxes of cereal from home along with styrofoam bowls and plastic spoons so we can have breakfast in our room. When we eat at the food court on the dining plan, we use our resort refillable mugs to get our coffee, or if we're there for lunch, we use it for pop or iced tea, but we're still entitled to that beverage. So whenever we are there, I grab a milk for our beverage, and then I return those to our refrigerator in our room, and this enables me to have our milk. Otherwise, if we don't have any milk available from dining credits, then I just go to the gift shop in the resort and I grab some milk there. And this is really great because it helps us to get out of the room faster. And when we travel with three small children, we really have to maximize our morning hours and everyone's awake and not as crabby. And then the other thing that I really enjoy doing is I pack those sandwich thins that you can buy, you know, from Pepperidge Farm or someone. And I put those in the hard plastic Chinese containers that we get when we have our Chinese food. They fit in there perfectly, and then they don't get squished in our luggage. And a jar of peanut butter and a jar of jelly and some plastic knives, and voila, you have an inexpensive lunch in the park. So we can stretch out between if we have a breakfast reservation and we want to have an inexpensive lunch, or vice versa, if we are having dinner and we need to stretch it out and not waste all of those quick service credits when maybe we don't really need a full meal. So those are my tips. I hope that those are helpful to one of your readers or listeners. And I don't think that I've heard them on here before. So thanks a lot. Have a great day and congratulations on your 100th episode.
Hi. My name is Tim from Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, and my wife and I, on our upcoming trip to Walt Disney World, were not able to get a reservation together for Be Our Guest at lunchtime, so we wound up getting two individual reservations for lunch that were 10 minutes apart. And I would assume that this could also work for other people. If you've got, say, a family of six, and you're not able to get all six get in together, you could do two reservations of three. Or if you had a family of four, that you could do two reservations of two, and likewise, or whatever fits your, the number in your family. I hope this is helpful. I appreciate all of your podcasts and always enjoy reposting them to people when they have questions on Facebook about, hey, I'm going to Disney World. What do you suggest? I always link to your website. I found you to be a great resource. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tim, for saying that. I appreciate you sharing the information with other people. What Tim mentioned about that tip being good for groups is absolutely true. If you have a larger group that and you're having difficulty finding a dining reservation, sometimes splitting it up is a good idea. You may run into an issue in My Disney Experience where it will see that you have a reservation for, let's say, three people, and then when you go to try to make another reservation for another three people, it'll say you already have one. It won't let you do it. So in that case, you would need to call, because usually the cast members on the phone can arrange that for you. We have had that issue ourselves, mostly because my daughter is so much older, and if she has a friend with us, then they like to have a dining reservation separate from us. And so we've had to call to make sure that we could have two reservations at the same time, but for different people in our group. I do have a few dining related quick tips that were sent in by people by email. They were a little shy to leave a message, but I wanted to make sure to fit them in because some of them are, all of them are helpful. The first one is from Taryn. Taryn says, if you want to eat at the Boathouse, most people are trying to make reservations through the Disney Dining System or OpenTable.com, but I had no success using either one. After searching for several days, someone gave me the number to call the restaurant directly, and they gave me a reservation immediately for the exact date and time that I asked for. It was nowhere near 180 days out, so it seems like they may hold back a good chunk of the availability for phone-in reservations. And that's a great tip, and that is true for a lot of the non-Disney owned restaurants, and you may run into that at T-Rex Cafe or Rainforest Cafe as well. But now we can add the Boathouse to that list. The next tip was submitted by Emily. Emily says, this tip was suggested by a cast member. She says, we needed to cancel a dining reservation at the last minute because of illness, and a cast member on the phone suggested that I reschedule for 2 days later, then I could cancel it without penalty. I tried this one other time, and it worked again. There's no fee to reschedule, and then you will be out of the penalty time period for canceling. And finally, this one was sent in by Jeremy on behalf of his 7-year-old son, Nathan, who says, if you don't like the quick service options in Magic Kingdom and you're really hot and you really like the monorail, you could eat lunch at Contempo Cafe, which is in the Contemporary Resort. It's only a few minutes from Magic Kingdom and a cool monorail ride away. It has way better food than most quick service restaurants at Magic Kingdom, and it's one of the best resort food courts. You can order some nice options, and they bring it to your table for you, especially if you have the dining plan, which means money isn't a factor. Nicer condiments, upscale entrees, great ambiance in the contemporary resort, and air conditioning gives you a chance to escape the crowd and heat at Magic Kingdom, but it's not too far away. So that's a great tip. I actually have not been to Contempo Cafe, but hope to soon because I've heard so many great things about it. So let's go on to the next batch of tips. And these, I have a few that were submitted regarding touring, some tips to maximize your time as you're touring the parks. So let's get started with what might be my favorite tip of this episode. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Kelly from Vandalia, Ohio, and I have a quick tip that might help you save some time on your bonus fast passes. Oftentimes when you go to the kiosks, the cast members are there and they're asking you how many people, what would you like, and they're the ones actually searching on the iPads. My tip is to just let them book whatever's available, because once your bonus fast passes are booked, then you can leave the kiosk area and go ahead and go back to your own My Disney Experience app on your phone and change it to whatever you want and search. And it's a lot quicker for you and everybody else in line. So that's my quick tip of the day. Thanks so much.
Hi, my name is Brittany Taylor Stewart, and I was just calling in a quick tip of the day about the ride Soarin' in Epcot. I just recently got back from a trip to Walt Disney World, and I discovered this myself. The third row of Soarin' does not have extra motion in the seats, while the first and the second row do have extra motion in the seats. So the third row would be useful for people who might, A, have motion sickness and tend to get quite queasy at motion simulators because it has no movement, just the big screen in front of you, so it's less of the simulation. Or B, people that might not like heights as much because it is the lowest row to the ground. But if you sit in rows 1 or 2, it adds a little bit of extra motion to the seat to make it a more realistic experience. So hopefully you will find this useful.
Hi, this is Dustin, the character queen, and my quick tip for you is don't let your nerves get the best of you when you go to meet a character. They're just as excited to meet you as you are to meet them. Just relax and have fun with them.
So, if you have never heard of Dustin, you may want to follow him on Facebook. Just look up the character queen. He's hilarious and posts hilarious videos from the parks, in particular Dub Smash videos, where he is lip syncing to music like pop songs and things like that. But the video is inside the theme park. So look him up on Facebook. He is a lot of fun. I also did want to clarify that first tip that I really liked by Kelly, where she talked about modifying bonus fast passes in case it wasn't clear. So your first 3 fast passes are things that you normally schedule ahead of time. And then after that, you can get bonus fast passes at kiosks in the park. And her tip was just to have like one person in your group go and accept whatever fast pass they give you. Cause sometimes it's a cast member holding an iPad. Sometimes it's a actual kiosk screen that you use. And by doing that, then that fast pass will be in the app and you can modify it. So if you have a group, let's say like 4, and you don't want to have everybody go over to the kiosk, you could have one person go over, book the fast pass for everybody, and then come back. And then wherever you are, you can all look at the phone and edit to another attraction, another time, etc., which I think is very convenient and a very clever tip. So thanks for that, all of you who called in touring-related tips. The next group of tips that we have pertains to families with young children. So we have a lot of like stroller, nap, you know, these kind of things in this category. And I think they're very helpful, especially when there are so many young kids at Disney World. So let's go ahead and dive into tips for families with young children.
Hi, Shannon. My name is Rachel, and I just took a trip with my preschool age daughter and my husband to Walt Disney World back in February, and we had a fantastic time and got everything out of it that we wanted to, thanks to your podcast. So thank you very much for all the information that you give and for the work that you do in making it so accessible for families. Because we just went on this trip, I have a couple quick tips, especially dealing with bringing preschoolers to Walt Disney World. The first one is strollers. And I know this is a tip that you've said before, but I didn't quite let it sink in before our trip, and it bears repeating. Many families at Disney World have the same strollers or similar strollers. For instance, especially if you have a particular stroller called the City Mini from Baby Jogger. It's a great stroller to bring to Walt Disney World. I highly recommend it, but because it's so great, all of the rental companies use this very same stroller. And if you have it, you're very likely to have a hard time finding it in stroller parking. Whenever you visit an attraction in Walt Disney World and you have a stroller, you can't bring the stroller in with you. And so you have to find stroller parking, which is very conveniently located for the most part. However, cast members are working to manage that large mass of strollers that are parked, and very often the cast member will have to move your stroller while you're enjoying the attraction. And when you come back, you have to find it. If you have a common stroller, it can be very difficult to find. So my quick tip has to do with making sure you bring something to tie to the handle of your stroller to make it stick out in a crowd. So a scarf or some kind of flag maybe that you could buy ahead of time. Some kind of non-Disney balloon, because a lot of families buy Disney balloons. But something that you can put on that stroller to get it to stand out. That's my quick tip for parents of babies or preschoolers with strollers. And finally, for preschoolers, I highly, highly recommend the Disney Junior Play and Dine Hollywood Vine Lunch Package, the Fantasmic Package. Not only do you get a great buffet lunch, but you also get great seating at Fantasmic for no extra cost. And if your child, like my child, loves the three big Disney Junior characters, Jake, Sophia, and Doc, this is a great way to meet those characters without having to wait in line. So you get three great benefits: lunch, awesome character interactions, and excellent seating at Fantasmic for no extra cost. Thank you so much for all you do, Shannon, and happy 100th episode.
Hi there, this is Casey from DLRPrepSchool.com, and my quick tip is to always leave midday. I always equate this back to when our parents always said nothing good happens after midnight. And now I do believe that not a lot good happens midday in the park. And what I mean by that is from around 1 to 5. The park is crowded. It's hot. People start melting down. That's children and parents. And I totally recommend leaving around 1. That is my recommendation. Depending on which park you're at, it may differ a little bit. Go back to your hotel and swim, or take a nap, or take a shower, or just relax. Just lay down and get out of the park during the chaos, and then plan to return to stay late. Another quick tip with that is also do not allow children to swim for too long. I made that mistake a while back, and my kids swam for a couple hours, and then it totally defeated the purpose of resting, and they were cranky and tired during the evening hours. So let your children swim for about 20 minutes and then go back to the hotel for nap time. Even if it's not a nap, let kids sit on their iPads or read books or just relax, and then take a shower and get ready for the late hours of the day, which are always my favorite. Hope that helps. Enjoy your visit. Thanks.
This is Stephanie from Asheville, North Carolina, with a tip for families debating about a stroller for a normally too big for a stroller child. My tip is, remember, there are 2 stroller rental locations in Epcot, and use them strategically. Skip renting a stroller in Future World as you enter the park, and get one at the International Gateway if your child is wearing out halfway around World Showcase. You won't have to worry about parking the stroller during morning touring when everyone has plenty of energy. Renting one in the afternoon gives your child a break from walking, plus the adults in your group can stash park bags and purchases too. This tip allowed us to tour Epcot rope drop to close with an almost 6-year-old. It works in reverse as well. If you enter the park at the International Gateway, pick up a stroller in Future World.
Hi, I'm Casey from Indiana. My tip is on baby wearing at Disney World. On our first family trip to Disney in April 2014, my baby was 7 months old. She was a heavy thing at 22 pounds by that point. My older 2 children took turns in the stroller, and my baby was primarily worn in a baby carrier. This was so helpful to me because she slept a ton at that age. She slept right through Dumbo, Peter Pan, Toy Story, Midway Mania, and more. I was able to keep her in the carrier on my front while I rode certain rides, and she kept on sleeping. If she had been in arms, she would have been too heavy for me to manage for long. While I'm used to baby wearing, it's a whole nother thing when you're toting around a heavy baby for miles all day for a week. Here's what I did to make it easier. I used two different carriers in the parks. Both of them were soft, structured buckle carriers. One happened to be a standard Tula, and the other a standard Kinderpack with CoolKnit. I found that alternating them helped me avoid pressure points, since the carriers hit me in different places on my hips. I started getting really sore with the Tula and switched to the Kinderpack with no issues. I used moleskin as a preventative and applied some on my hips just in case. I used the Monistat anti-chafing gel on my arms and back where the carrier might rub just to prevent chafing. I should have had my husband wear her more just to help share the load, but I couldn't get enough of her little baby snuggles. So he did wear her some and that helped, but he should have carried her more. Also in the evening, jump in that hot tub at your resort to relax at the end of the day. I also found relief with topical Bengay on my legs. I was just sore. Make sure your body is ready for the physical requirement that is Walt Disney World. Walk a ton in preparation and make sure you are used to wearing your baby for hours if you intend to do that on your vacation. If you would prefer not to buy a new carrier, check your town to see if there's a baby wearing group. Some of them have a lending library where you can borrow a carrier for a small fee, or maybe a friend will loan you a carrier. Make sure your baby is sunscreened and protected from the sun, of course. I kept my baby in soft knit pants with socks to help keep the sun off of her, and she stayed cool and unburned. We have another trip coming this December. Baby will now be 2 years plus a few months. My plan for the now 34-pound kid is to have her walking what she can around the resort, using a toddler Tula in my standard Kinderpack when we need to wear her, having Daddy wear her way more, and using a stroller. I hope that helps.
Hi, Shannon. This is Rachel again with one more tip for preschool families. When you go to Walt Disney World, especially if you have a little girl who loves princesses, or even a little boy who loves princesses, they may want to go to the Bippity Boppity Boutique to get their hair done. But if they are under 3 years old, they can't get the updo done at the boutique. I experienced this when we went back in February. Even though you can't get the whole updo at the boutique, you can go to the Bippity Boppity Boutique, bring your preschooler, and let them look around the store. And while you're there, ask the fairy godmother in training at the front desk if your child can get a little bit of the magic dust sprinkled in their hair from the fairy godmother's wand, and they do it. So it's just a little freebie when you go by the Bippity Boppity Boutique to just get a little extra sparkle in your child's hair. It comes out in a couple of showers, takes a little bit, but it made my daughter feel extra special, even though she couldn't get the whole princess updo done. So just a tip for parents that don't want to do the whole updo, but want to get a little sparkle. Thank you very much. Happy 100th episode.
Hi there. This is Christy from Mama Proof Costumes, and my quick tip deals with traveling with kiddos. Meltdowns will happen, but my first line of defense when anyone gets grouchy in my group is to throw a snack at them. Whether it be a Mickey bar, applesauce pouch, apple juice, or gummies, it will usually help get those blood sugar levels up and sweeten their mood a bit. And it works great on daddies, too.
My name is Kara, and I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. My tip is about strollers. My last Disney trip, I was traveling with a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old who often would not want to walk. And instead of trying to carry on our stroller and deal with that hassle, I rented a stroller from a great website, a small family-owned business called KingdomStrollers.com. We rented a double stroller for 7 nights. They drop it off at whatever resort you're staying at. Even if you're not staying on property, I know they can drop it off at any hotel in the Orlando area. For 7 nights, we paid $80 total. They also have a very nice tag they place on the stroller with your last name, which helps you kind of tell it from the others in the stroller parking lots. So I hope that that's helpful. It was really convenient for us on our last trip.
Thank you for all those tips about doing Disney World with young children. Those were very helpful, especially because I do not have young children anymore, so I love learning from you all. That last tip that came from Kara regarding using Kingdom strollers, she is not alone in loving Kingdom strollers. They are probably the most well-known stroller rental company for Disney World trips. There are other companies, though, in Disney World. And so in the show notes, I will include a link to a post I wrote that compares stroller rental companies, because each one has different models of strollers and prices and features. And it also includes, the post includes a spreadsheet that allows you to compare features and weight limits and, you know, all of that. And that way you can make a good decision for your family if you want to rent a stroller. So this next batch of trips is kind of is kind of a mixture. It's miscellaneous sort of things, including things about saving money, transportation, pen trading, that sort of thing. So let's go ahead and dive into the next batch, starting with Amy, who has a tip for people traveling from Canada.
Hi, Shannon. This is Amy from Stirling, Ontario, Canada. And I have a couple tips for your Canadian followers. The first one is, if you can, if you're close enough, you might want to consider flying out of a U.S. border city. For us, that is Buffalo, New York. We live a couple hours away from that border. And for us, it actually saves us money, even when the Canadian dollar is poor, quite often to fly out of that airport. I don't know if it's different taxes or what it is, but just the flight seems to be quite often a better deal. And we also get the chance to fly Southwest out of Buffalo, which saves us money as well, because they, at this point anyways, don't charge for baggage. So it's something that Canadians might want to check to see if it's worth it if they're not too far away to fly out of a U.S. City. There are times where it isn't as good of a deal, but it's something to definitely check. Sometimes we've saved a significant amount by driving a couple hours and flying out of a U.S. city. The second tip is, we went and got a U.S. MasterCard from one of our Canadian banks. We don't pay any, yearly fee for it or anything, and we just use it down when we go to Disney World, or if we do any kind of U.S. shopping online as well. But we find that works well for us. It saves us money. We used to go down with our Canadian credit card, and just the exchange on our Canadian credit card, once we got back, was insane. So this way we use it. It goes on there as American money, and when we get back, we purchase American money and pay it off. Quite often what we do is actually purchase American money for a good year before we go on our trip, when our exchange is favorable for Canadians, and put it away. And when it's not favorable, we don't buy any, and we just sort of sock it away. And when we get back from our trip, we pay it off with the American money that we got a good deal on. Or you could do that after as well, as make some minimum payments, and then when the dollar is good for us, buy some American money and pay it off. So it just seems to work well for us, and it does save us money compared to using our Canadian credit cards down there. So it's, again, something to look into and check. So I hope that's helpful to some of your Canadian followers, and thank you very much.
Hi, Shannon. My name's Kim, and I'm from Mandeville, Louisiana, which is about an hour away from New Orleans. I'm calling in with a tip on how I saved about $200 on our next Disney vacation, which is in November of this year. I took our savings, which was approximately $3,600, the money we saved for our trip, plus we saved up for Memory Maker as well, and purchased $150 gift cards for Disney from Sam's Club. By doing this, I saved about $170, because a $150 pack of Disney gift cards is $142.88. In addition to that, I paid with those gift cards with my Disney Visa, which also gave me $30 in Disney reward money. So my total savings ended up being $200 just by using that method to pay for our trip. Thanks.
Hi, Shannon. This is Buffy from Edwardsburg, Michigan, and I have a tip to make the most out of rainy days in the parks. I recommend that anybody, if you're in the parks and it starts raining, even if you're soaking wet or wearing silly-looking ponchos, make sure that you get a picture taken of yourself and your family with the PhotoPass photographer during that time. One of the most unique and fun pictures we had from our last trip was our family. We were wearing these crazy looking, all matching white ponchos. They were half torn apart by this point, but we stood in front of the Epcot icon and we held our hands up like we were catching the raindrops, and we had smiles on our faces. And looking back at that picture, it just reminds me that even in bad weather, we still had a great time. And what's funny is when we got back from our trip, and to this day, we get more compliments on that picture than any other we had taken on that trip. So I'm glad we did that. And it was just kind of a spur of the moment thing we decided to do when we were on our way out of Epcot. So anyway, I just want to congratulate you, Shannon, on your 100th podcast. I'm a huge fan. I have been for a while, and I'm so excited to be a part of this. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hi, Shannon. This is Claire and Andy calling from Down Under. We recently traveled from Australia over to Disney World with our two daughters. We had a double buggy and lots of bags. And one of the tips we found really helpful was that when we were arriving to a park a bit later and the car parks had filled up a lot, or we were going to a different park halfway through, we were finding that the best thing for us was to go straight to the drop-off point where my husband would drop me and the girls and the buggy and all the bags off. And we would meet him in the park. And he was finding by going to the drop-off point, he was often finding a car parking space a lot closer to the entrance where a visitor had already been to the park earlier that day and left. So it was great. By the time we came out of the park at the end of the day, it was usually a short walk back to the car. So I hope some other families that listen find that useful. Thank you very much for all the great podcasts. We use so many of the tips, and keep up the good work.
Hi, Shannon. This is Marcy from Sandia Park, New Mexico. My quick tip has to do with trading pins. My girls and I love to trade pins with cast members when we visit Disney, but I didn't like the pins sitting in a drawer when we were home. I was looking for a way to enjoy them in between our trips. After our last trip to Disney World, I purchased a blank canvas for a few dollars and painted it red. Then I poked our pins through it, and it became a display board that hangs in our kitchen and reminds us of the great memories we made on our last visit. Our canvas is 12 by 15 inches, and it holds about 80 pins, but you can make one as small or as large as you want. Thanks for all the great information you provide. We love listening to your podcast.
Hey, Shannon, this is Brian from Nashville, Tennessee, also from Two Cups of Magic. It's a fellow Walt Disney World trip planning podcast. Calling in with a tip for your 100th episode. Just wanted to say it's about shopping and about making your first fast pass of the day about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour after you plan on getting there. Let's say you plan on getting there at Rope Drop. And this could work at Magic Kingdom. This can work at Disney's Hollywood Studios, Animal Kingdom, or even Epcot. When you go in, see, you have your first fast pass for 45 minutes to an hour after you plan on getting there. Take your time. You don't have to run right there. You don't have to rush. You don't have to go with the flow of the crowd, which that's the great thing is everybody's rushing to their favorite attraction. They're rushing to Mine Train. They're rushing to Peter Pan. They're rushing to meet Anna and Elsa or whatever it might be, and the shops aren't crowded. It's a great time to be able to get in and not feel like you have to get in and get out, not feel like you have to be shoulder to shoulder with everyone. You can actually take everything in, especially on Main Street USA. There are so many sights, there are so many sounds, there are so many smells, and even tastes. Take your time, go in, get you a wonderful treat from the confectionery, go down to our new Starbucks and get you a nice cup of coffee, and do a little bit of shopping. The great thing about doing your shopping at the beginning of the day is you don't have to carry everything around with you, as I know you have mentioned before. You can have it sent to your room or you can have it shipped home. It's a great thing. And one last thing, if it's in the heat of the day, in the middle of the summer in Florida, and it's super hot, the sun is hot, it's blazing, and you need to beat the heat, just do some of your shopping then. Get into the shops because they're air-conditioned controlled, and you don't have to worry about having a heat stroke. So, Shannon, thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for WDW Prep to Go. We really appreciate all of your helpful information, all of your tips. Keep on doing what you're doing. Really appreciate it. And hope to talk to you again soon. Have a good one. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate those nice words from a fellow podcaster. I will add to something he said that not only are the shops a good reprieve from the heat, but on Main Street, most of them are connected. So if you go in one end of Main Street, you can often wind your way through the shops to the end of the shops to stay cool. without ever having to go outside. Also, Brian used the term rope drop, which most people I think know what it means, but some people ask me about this a couple times a week I get asked, and it just is a figurative term. There isn't a literal rope drop. It just means park opening. It is just a different way of saying it and something that often gets used in the Disney World fan community. I do want to add one sort of miscellaneous tip that was emailed in by Bronwyn, and the tip says this: if you are planning to do laundry at your resort, pack a few Shout color catchers. You can combine all of your laundry into one load without sorting by color, and these are great to use at home as well, but they can save you some money on vacation too. So I appreciate that, and that's a good general travel tip because you don't always have enough laundry to fill a load by colors, and so you can combine them all. So that's fantastic. So I have one more group of tips that happen to all be from favorite listeners or colleagues. And this will be a great way to wrap up this podcast. So let's get started with the last batch from Adriana, who I met at Disneyland recently.
Hi, Shannon. This is Adriana from Paulsboro, Washington. And my quick tip of the day is to utilize your library for resources such as books and CDs to enhance your Disney magic. Prior to our trip this year, we rented a bunch of the classic stories to read to our kids that are a little bit too young for the Disney movies that they kind of are freaked out by. And that helped them get to know the characters and be excited when they saw them in the parks. The other thing that we've done is we've borrowed CDs from our library with music from the parks and also from movies and classic Disney stuff that has helped remember the trip since we've been home and has kept the Disney magic alive until our next trip. I hope this helps somebody, and congratulations on your 100th episode. Thanks.
Hi, Shannon. Hi, WDW prep fans. Have you just finished planning your trip and now you're bummed because you have to wait for your trip to arrive? Or maybe you've just gotten back and now you've got a case of Disney withdrawals. We've all been there. And I have a tip for everybody who needs more Disney. You can follow See You Real Soon on YouTube. Joe and Ashley, the video bloggers, are a couple of Disney-loving big kids who take you through a day in the parks. Their passion and love for all things Disney really comes through in these videos. And another great thing about this couple is that their videos contain no bad language or behaviors that are not safe for kids to see. My kids love their videos, and they call Joe and Ashley the happy couple. New videos are released every Wednesday, and if you watch them, you'll get your Disney fix, and you will feel happy too. The YouTube channel is See You Real Soon, and that's C-Y-A-R-E-E-L, soon. Check it out.
Hello, this is Heather from WW Prep School, and my quick tip is about making your return back to reality a little easier to handle. Before we go on vacation, one of the last things I do is to make up a couple of freezer meals for that first lunch or dinner back home. I also make sure we have stuff for the first morning back in reality, so that if we get back home really late, nobody has to run to the store. Finally, the last thing we do before we leave to go on vacation is to put clean sheets on all of the beds. After a busy day of travel, it's always nice to just be able to crawl into a bed with fresh sheets and to not worry about what you're going to eat for breakfast or dinner the next day, especially if you're already deep into post-Disney trip withdrawals.
Hi, this is Cheryl Corin from Key to the World Travel. For me, Disney World is all about the magic. That feeling I get every time I step onto Main Street, when I see Eeyore, my all-time favorite character, when I watch the fireworks over the castle, or when I see my son's eyes light up when he experiences something new. I'm lucky. I get to go to the parks a lot. And I realize for most people, Disney World is a once-in-a-lifetime trip, so it makes sense to want to pack as much as you can into that vacation. And planning out your meals and fast passes and daily plans is really important with the way things are set up now with My Magic Plus. But what you will remember most is the things that you had not planned. A cast member having a pirate duel with your son after he visits the Pirates League, following a family of ducks around the World Showcase while your daughter acts as a crossing guard to make sure they reach the other side safely, or the way your teenage son is suddenly a little boy again when he gets the high score on Toy Story Mania. That is the stuff of memories. So my very long-winded tip is just that. Make a plan, but don't forget to leave time for the unexpected, because that is where the magic lives. Congratulations, Shannon, on your 100th podcast, and thanks for keeping us all in the know for all things Disney. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, that's so nice and a great way to wrap up all the tips. So now you can see why I like working with Cheryl so much, because we have a shared philosophy that it's all about the magic. You have to plan, but you have to stay flexible in order to allow the magic to happen. So thank you to everybody who called in tips. I've learned some things today and I hope that you did as well. And as always, I do want to talk about news because we did have some news come out this week. So let's dive into that. First of all, the appetizers are now included on Fantasmic dinner packages. I don't know when this happened because there haven't been any news releases. It's just something that was pointed out to me and I realized it had happened fairly recently. Now, there are three restaurants that you can use with the Fantasmic dinner package that include Mama Melrose, Brown Derby, and Hollywood and Vine. Hollywood and Vine is a buffet, so it doesn't apply there, but it does apply to the other two. So now you get appetizers and desserts with the Fantasmic dinner package. And if you find yourself wondering, what is a Fantasmic dinner package? I will link to that in the show notes because I have an entire post with tips and tricks for Fantasmic, which includes a section on the Fantasmic dinner package. Next up, we did this week also hear about fall promotions that affect people traveling between October and December. I have to warn you that availability was pretty limited and not too many people saved, but it could apply to you. And so I will link to that in the show notes. That it has the exclusions, you know, which resorts aren't included in it and the percentages and all that kind of stuff. I will link to that in the show notes if you are interested in checking that out. Next up, we heard this week that there's going to be a new exhibit added to Innoventions East at Epcot. Now, Innoventions East recently has been basically shut down. The exhibits that were there are closed, but this is going to be a new one that gets added back there, and it's called Colortopia. The press release described it like this. It says, guests to the Colortopia exhibit will encounter unique interactions through fun and surprising hands-on activities. Park visitors will be able to extend the Colortopia exhibit experience throughout Epcot and to their own home with a mobile application and website set to launch later this year. So the only date we've heard is late fall. So I'm not sure exactly when that is, but if you're traveling late fall, you have a chance to see this in Epcot. Next up, we have confirmation that the Osborne lights at Hollywood Studios are returning for the holidays. Now, this is something that has been there for a long time, but there has been speculation that they might be going away due to the upcoming and rumored Hollywood Studios projects. However, we do now know that they will be back November 6th through January 3rd, which is fantastic news for me because I will be there when they open. And many of you will be as well if you booked through our group booking for early November. Speaking of, just a reminder that there are some seats left for the private breakfast that I am hosting on November 6th at Epcot, and Anna, Elsa, and Olaf will all be there. And if you would like to have breakfast with them and me and lots of other WW Prep readers and WW Prep to Go listeners, you can email events@keytotheworldtravel.com. for more information and to reserve your spot. You cannot meet Olaf anywhere at Disney World, so it's a very exciting opportunity. And you can also avoid the lines to see Anna and Elsa because you will have them there at breakfast. Finally, in news, I just want to let you know that there were some My Disney Experience updates this week, and that includes the website and the apps. I will link to more information about the updates, but two that stood out to me in particular, if you have an iPhone with Touch ID, that the app now allows that. And My Disney Experience also allows you to decline extra Magic Bands for your trip. Now, I realize this isn't a problem that only we frequent travelers have, but I have 7 Magic Bands and they all remain active. As long as the battery in them still works, you can use them. And so I may choose a decline on a future trip because I don't necessarily need that many Magic Bands. And so now My Disney Experience allows you to do that if you don't want any new ones. So that's going to wrap up news. And normally I would also have a quick tip of the day, but instead of doing that, you guys already had lots of quick tips today. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being such a great group. I have met many of you. I have interacted with many of you on email and social media. And I am just constantly amazed at the type of people that listen. It's that you all are so smart and so kind. And I just thank you so much for being here. So I can't wait for the next 100, and I'm really looking forward to that. I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, as always, you can check the podcast app that you use or go to wdwprepschool.com/episode100. That is the number 100. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.